time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
Hey, thank you very much, and welcome to the Vintage Truth Podcast. We are in a very special series on abortion, America's Holocaust, and we're going to get to that here in just a second here. But this is a very special series because it's so incredibly relevant to where we are right now in our world today. And this represents the 124th episode of the Vintage Truth Podcast, which obviously we're very excited about to broadcast to some 42 countries across the world. And it's exciting to me because all I want to do is to get God's vintage truth out there. And some of you have responded to the challenge of supporting this podcast ministry just as little as $8 a month. Some of you do that a little bit more, obviously, but that's, you know what, it's a dollar a podcast. And it just says to me, hey, we love what you're doing. We appreciate what you're doing. You're having a ministry in our lives. Thank you for equipping us and helping us understand God's vintage truth in a way that makes a difference in our lives and also helps us to be able to share the truth with others as well. And that's really what it's all about. It's all about helping you in your life. Now let's get on to, and if you'd like to do that, then go to jeffkinley.com, click on the donate tab, and you can set up a reoccurring payment or a one-time payment, whatever you want to do to help support this podcast ministry. Okay, let's talk about our topic for today. This is the third part of my series on abortion, America's Holocaust. And in episodes, the first two episodes really talked about some historical foundations of, you know, where this whole idea of abortion came from. But you know what? Today, as I promised you, I'm going to begin talking about the arguments that the quote-unquote pro-choice crowd has for abortion, for the murder of babies. It's interesting that they're pro-choice except for giving the choice to unborn women. It's like all women get a choice, but unborn women don't get a choice to even live. They make that choice for them. This is particularly relevant where we are right now in our world because a couple of things. Number one is the fact that statistics were just recently released regarding the number of abortions in America. Of course, one of the leading organizations in this death cult, the slaughter of the unborn, is Planned Parenthood, a demonically inspired organization under the facade of helping women and with their health issues. And of course, one of them, the health issues, is their reproductive rights. But this is according to Planned Parenthood. They abort about 881 babies every single day. That was for the year 2016, by the way. In other words, a baby was aborted every 98 seconds at a Planned Parenthood facility in 2016. In 2014, 324,000 abortions were committed by Planned Parenthood and its affiliates. In other words, they're responsible for about 35% of all the abortions committed in the United States every year. And they are at the forefront. They're sort of the mouthpiece for abortion in America. They're the flagship organization that stands out there. Of course, they've received heat, not enough heat, but heat from some of their employees talking about selling human body parts for profit. There's some of the gory, gruesome details of that I will not go into right now. This past year, Planned Parenthood was responsible for killing 321,384 babies, bringing their total killed to over 7.6 million children. I'm just going to let that sink in for a second. You know, these people who, from a female perspective, this is nothing short of just goddess worship. Self-worship is all it is. It's not reproductive rights. It's they love themselves. They worship themselves. they will serve themselves at all costs, even to the point of killing their own children. And dare I say, for some of them, they would kill others of their children as well, their children that have already been born, that are growing up in their household. Well, if it came to it, it's either me or you, right? Why would you all of a sudden have this, you know, noble sense of sacrifice for your children when you didn't care to keep your child to begin with? You know, the depths of human depravity knows no bounds. There are no limits on it, by the way. Now, men are just as evil, okay? Just in a different way. We're not killing our own children. We're doing other things that are evil as well. But this female goddess worship is prevalent and predominant in our world today, especially in America, where we think that if you're a woman, somehow you're just untouchable. You can't be told no. Now, beyond being a woman, you're a human being, okay? And you stand before God individually. God's not going to say, you were a woman. Well, you get a pass on that. No, you still are accountable to a holy God. Now, let me transition real quick to this story that's very new in the news. It's the state of New York and how they have now legalized abortions up until the very end of pregnancy, the very day of birth. So, I mean, not one single person on planet Earth can deny that that child at that moment, right about to be delivered, is a human being feeling pain. I mean, can you imagine in 13 inches and 30 seconds later, that baby is lying on a table getting its nose, you know, aspirated and, you know, making sure he's got all his fingers and toes, and all of a sudden just taking a pair of snippers and just snipping that the back of that neck and snipping his spinal cord and just killing that baby at birth. That's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly in the womb what this new legislation has been passed. And, you know, there was thunderous applause from the legislature in New York. They celebrated. In fact, Governor Mario Cuomo, standing before us in front of a sign that says "Reproductive Justice, No Time to Wait." Well, first of all, my friend, you don't know what justice is. What about justice for the persons that you are murdering? And you are standing up and applauding and celebrating and screaming and hollering and jumping up and down for the right to slaughter children. And then they went and lit up the World Trade Center with this pink spire on top of it to celebrate the passage of what they call the Reproductive Health Act. Why don't they just call it the Killing Babies Bill? Because that's the truth. Let me tell you something about a guy like Mario Cuomo, and for many, if not most, if not all of the people who voted for this Reproductive Health Act, they are all, to a man and to a woman, demonized. Because only Satan himself could devise such a deceitful, deluding scheme to convince the minds of humans to do what is naturally offensive and unthinkable. They are demonized. And the state of New York is under a sentence of judgment by Almighty God. The whole country is under a sentence of judgment. We fund Planned Parenthood, by the way. And God will not stand by and allow this to happen. And we will continue to be the victim of our own reaping and sowing judgment. And we are being given over to our own desires and to our own decisions and to our own lusts. And sometimes, instead of God sending something cataclysmic God will just say, keep walking, just keep going in that direction and let it happen, because it's going to happen to you. We are a country under the sentence of death by God. And what you need to pray for, I mean, someone shouted out in the legislature, someone with a brain and a conscience shouted out, may God have mercy on this Senate. It's a horrible prayer to pray. God doesn't need to have mercy on that Senate. He needs to bring wrath and condemnation and judgment on that pagan, barbaric, demonic chamber in New York. And that's his vengeance, not mine. So he's in charge of that. But my friend, it will come. It will come. So what you need to pray is that God would lead these people to repentance before him, to repent of this horrible, murderous, bloody decision that they've made against children. Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. I think it's pretty plain. But let's talk about for a second how they justify, because they don't just walk into the room. They don't say things like, hey, who wants to kill babies today? They don't say that. They have these arguments, they say. I'm going to give you some of them. I'm going to give you about 12 of these arguments, about some of them today and some of the next broadcast. We'll finish up this little series. But let's talk about this for just a second. You can tell I'm very passionate about this because, I mean, this doesn't take much of a conscience. You don't have to be much of a human being to realize that this is morally reprehensible. Let's just talk about a couple of them. Number one, no one knows when human life begins. Well, that's one of the arguments they use. Well, here's a response to that. Well, okay. All right. I'll give you that. But if no one knows when human life begins, then it might begin at conception, right? If no one knows, it could begin at conception. And if it does begin at conception, then abortion is murder. Did you know that your DNA makeup is no different today at whatever age you are than the second you were conceived in your mother's womb? So if a person becomes a human being at conception, then they're human and killing it is murder. But we don't know if it's human life or not. All right, here's another scenario for you. If you see a moving object in the woods and you're not sure if it's a human or if it's a deer, should you just shoot anyway? Well, I mean, after all, no one knows whether or not it's human or a deer, so let's go ahead and kill it. No, of course not. You need to verify. So neither then should we kill babies if we are not sure they are not human. Actually, as I said, we do know when human life begins. It begins at conception. A sperm with just 23 chromosomes is not a human being. An ovum with 23 chromosomes is not a human being. But when they unite into one entity with 46 chromosomes, the result is a human being. This is a medical, biological, undeniable, verifiable fact of science. Every doctor knows this. Number two, they say, well, the mother has a right to control her own body. I have a right to control my own body. I'm going to go work out here after this podcast. That's controlling my own body. I'm going to decide what I eat tonight. That's control over my own body. But let's respond to this. First of all, a baby is not a part of a mother's body. Okay? It's an individual human being with its own separate body. You know, this person doesn't like share a heart with the mother or a brain. To be sure, the mother is feeding the unborn baby, but a mother feeds a baby after it's born as well. This would be murder by starvation if you cut off a source of life for a preborn baby that is also depending on that mother. Secondly, even if the unborn baby were a part of the mother's body, does she have the right to do anything she wants to her own body? No. It's still morally wrong to harm yourself, to kill yourself, especially to murder yourself. You know, a part of yourself. So yeah, I mean, there are moral parameters that we have even on our own body. So right, control your own body, that's a bogus argument. Here's a third one. The unborn baby is not really human until it is born. Well, if it's not human, then what is it? Is it mineral? Is it vegetable? Is it an animal like a dog or a monkey? Or is it some other kind of species? No, it's a human being. What do cows give birth to? Cows. What do horses give birth to? You know what I'm saying? No medical person has ever, ever identified an unborn dog as anything other than a dog. Or an unborn pig as anything other than a pig. So why should we all of a sudden question logically what an unborn human is? See, the only reason we're doing this is because we don't want it. So does this argument mean that babies are only human when they change their location and move outside the womb? Is that what makes a person human, is that it's changing, is moving, changing your location? I mean, since when does where one lives determine one's humanity? See, the difference between babies who are born and those who are unborn is not their essential nature. Rather, it's simply a matter of their size, development, location. They're still a human being. Argument number four. Unborn babies are not conscious beings. Therefore, it's okay to kill them. Here's the response. The objection here assumes that one must have consciousness in order to be human. But if consciousness determines humanity, then sleeping adults are not human. And if consciousness is the test for humanness, then whenever people lapse into a coma, they instantly lose their humanity and we can kill them. The logical conclusion from this reasoning is that it would never be considered murder to kill an unconscious person. Therefore, all a killer needs to do to keep from going to jail is simply knock out his victim before they shoot them. But he was unconscious, so he wasn't a human, right? He wasn't sentient. He only had potential sentience, right? Actually, babies in the womb are conscious. By 4 to 6 weeks after conception, they have their own brain waves, which they will keep for life. If the absence of a brain wave is considered a sign of death, then why is the presence of a brain wave not considered a sign of life? Number five, every child has a right to a meaningful life. Well, here's the response. What do you consider to be the criteria for a meaningful life? And who decides whether or not a life is meaningful? This is the kind of reasoning that leads to aborting Down syndrome children or any unborn child who has a defect of some type or another. This logic that, oh, they deserve a meaningful... How do you know they're not going to have a meaningful life? This logic used by abortionists leads inevitably to infanticide and euthanasia. Because you see, that child that was born is not going to have a meaningful life, and grandma's not going to have a meaningful life, so let's kill them. Number six, it's better to have an aborted child than to have an abused one. Well, that's stupid. This response assumes that delivering unwanted babies automatically leads to abuse. Unfortunately, statistics prove just the opposite. Child abuse cases have actually increased as the number of abortions has gone up. Apparently, the disregard for human life reflected in the acceptance of abortion is extended from the pre-birth to the post-birth attitude towards offspring. Also, this objection wrongly assumes that abortion itself is not abuse. In reality, abortion is one of the worst abuses that can possibly be inflicted upon a human being. Imagine doing to an adult or to a three-year-old what they do to unwanted babies. Number seven, well, we just can't legislate morality. You just can't do that. Well, here's a response to that. If this is so, then we should get rid of all the legislated morality that we have on the books. We'll start by rescinding prohibitions against murder, cruelty, theft, child abuse, incest, and rape against women. You can't legislate morality, therefore rape, sexual harassment is now okay. All of those laws, by the way, are morals that are legislating behavior. So if you just say, well, you know, you just can't stop it, so we shouldn't legislate it from a morality standpoint, then you got to take all those other laws off the book as well. It's impossible and stupid, undesirable, to avoid legislating morality. Every law is a legislation of morality. Those are seven of the most prominent arguments that abortionists use. I'm going to finish with the top five that are left. These are the big five that they use to argue for abortion. And I want to talk about, what if you've had an abortion? What if you've had an abortion? What do you do? What does God say? I'll talk about that in the next Vintage Truth podcast on this topic of abortion. You're not going to want to miss it. I'll talk to you then. Have a great week. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.